And welcome to another episode of Dynasty Trades HQ Podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. Are we already going to start this? We haven't even had all the guests come in yet?
Welcome.
My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz, and I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey guys, you can find me at DFF underscore madman on the Twitter box.
And Shane Manila.
Shane Manila.
at DFF underscore Shane. Yeah, so like I said, we've got another one of those big shows where we have a bunch of guests and we're going to try to pull off a rookie draft and see if we can get this one a little bit under control. But before we do that, I think we have some news, right? Brought to you by RotoAssurance.com.
Always.
Yeah. There's always something to talk about.
Yeah. Put in the code DynastyTradesHQ, all in caps, and get your 20% off your player insurance. So what is that news?
All right. Well, we got big news. Came out today that Amari Cooper is going to be shooting for 2,000 yards this year, which is would be pretty impressive. His career high is 1,153 yards. Back in 2016 when he was a spry 22-year-old. And also he wants to play for Dallas forever because, you know, his contract's up, which I think is funny just because what do you expect them to say? No, I don't want to play for Dallas. And I hope that I only go out and put out 750 yards. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about Amari Cooper in Dallas. He was still hit or miss, even though he had some better games and his floor was a little higher. I'm still not sure how I feel about him in Dallas. How do you guys feel?
There's a honeymoon period there for a while where everything was pretty good and he was, you know, working hard and things were kind of clicking. I don't expect him to be a 2,000-yard receiver this season. That would be great, but I don't see it. I think with what they plan to do, he's another piece in that offense. Witten's coming back. I know Witten's not going to get 2,000 yards either, but I just think that that might be great to have those aspirations. But I mean, I see him maybe having his best year. But
that'd be a record, by the way. Yeah, that'd be a record.
So do you think that – so his expectations to get that – I mean, people say shit just because, hey, I'm the best and I'm going to get 2,000. What do you think is realistic for him to do? What is realistic number for him?
But, I don't know, 1,300 yards?
Yeah, I was going to say 1,200. Yeah. He should have no problem getting there, but who knows?
I mean, he like I said, he still had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games when he went over there where he was under – 10 points, and he had a couple monster games. Obviously he had the 30-point game against Washington, and then he had the 39 almost 40-point game when he annihilated the Eagles. But he still had those quiet games, and if it was any other receiver, you would probably just chalk it up to, well, he got traded in the middle of the year, so that's kind of expected. But because it's Amari Cooper, it gives you those bad tingles in your special places, bad special tingles of like, oh no, is this really going to be the same thing as when he was in Oakland?
And I don't think so. You know, I mean, I'm optimistic about him there. I think it's a great spot for him for fantasy football. You know, the efficiency I think that offense will have over what he saw with Derek Carr and the Oakland offense, I think it's going to be, you know, a little more efficient. He's going to have a really major role, but I just think maybe the expectations for Amari Cooper were always kind of high, and it's almost unfair. And now he's doing it to himself with the, I'm going to get 2,000 yards. I'd love to see that. I hope people aren't being that unrealistic about him there. I mean, I would expect 1,200 yards, you know, what, 8 touchdowns. I mean, that's still an awesome season, right? But I don't think he's going to have a record-setting season in Dallas.
Where do you think what do you think his value is? Like, where does he belong in startups, or what is his trade value? Do you think he's a wide receiver one? Do you think he's a first round pick?
Wide receiver two, in my opinion. I mean, I think you can lock him in the top 24, but I hesitate to make him a wide receiver one until he shows me that. You know, he's one of those guys, I want him to prove it to me first.
I don't know. I haven't done my rankings. I got to sit down and do my rankings and my tier rankings for a redraft. Obviously not Dynasty, a little different. Well, a lot different, but yeah, I think in Dynasty, he's still a top 14 wide receiver for me, just off the top of my head. He's one of those guys that I think could be a wide receiver one. I don't know if it'll be this year. I kind of hope it is because I still have a lot of shares of him.
Yeah, you loved him a lot. Now
I still love him a lot.
the other guy that we have here on the news that technically when he plays, he's a wide receiver one, a first round guy. But there was supposed to be some news today about Tyreek Hill, wasn't there? Around 6 yeah. o'clock or Eastern Standard Time?
It was 3 o'clock Central, which first right. of all, or 2 o'clock Central. I don't know what time that is in English. So our buddy Scott Connor, he put it in the patron group chat. And if you don't know Scott, check Scott out. He's a part of the Dynasty Command Center. He's got Dynasty and Chill.
A patron of ours, which is really cool.
What's a patron, guys?
Oh, that's the patron. That's where you get the additional episodes every week. You get
the naked pics of Shane right off the top. You get Shane naked, 12-month calendar with Shane every month naked. What else? And different poses, right? Oh, no, that's for next season. I'm sorry. I spoiled it. I'm so sorry, guys. That was a surprise for Christmas.
Don't scare people. Shane, keep going.
You get the extra episode every week. I've already got the show sheet set up for this week's episode. You get the uncensored version of this show. Like I said, the bonus podcasts every week. You get the patron chat in the group me. Get some written content. It's worth it. There's a bunch of tiers. Check them out. Like I said, if you like Dynasty Trades HQ or if you love Dynasty Trades HQ and you want some more of me inside you, your ears. Yeah. So if you want, some more ear candy, just head over to Patreon, become a patron, and we'll love you better. Anyway, so yeah, Scott let us know like, hey, they're going to be making an announcement at like 2 o'clock or something, 2 Central. And I'm like, I don't know what time that is in English. So then the news was basically that the NFL is going to talk to Tyreek Hill on Wednesday.
So they made an announcement that there's going to be a talk in the future.
Yeah, they made an announcement that there's going to be an announcement.
Yeah, exactly. So
basically, I mean, I guess that's the beginning of the end of the saga, at least for resolution, because the NFL was apparently waiting on Kansas City's child health welfare department, whatever, to wrap up their investigation or near it. So I guess they're getting near that. So whatever, there's been a whole lot of speculation out there, a whole lot of rumors that I don't even feel like getting into. But basically, the long and the short of it, the gist of it is that it should be wrapping up soon and our long national nightmare will be over.
Yeah, especially in Dynasty. I mean, even in the startups that I'm in, he still goes pretty high. I mean, obviously, he doesn't go in the first and second round, but people are still taking him high. How high are you comfortable with taking him?
You must be talking to Jeremy. I'm not drafting him.
I have drafted him. I almost took him in a mock that we just did for DFF on Sleeper. I almost took him, but I was in a rush, and I clicked on somebody else before I realized he was still there, or I would have drafted him, I think. But I did take him in a startup, and I much lower than he'd been going. But, yeah, I'm not steering clear of him because I only expect him to miss a couple games. Even if it's 4 games this year in a dynasty league, I'm not worried about it. I even took him in a best ball recently, a money league best ball later on because, that's the name of the game. And in best ball is just, you're rolling out your best players any given week. Well, if I don't get him for 4 or 6 weeks, he's still going to help me the rest of the season when he has those big boom weeks. So I haven't been, we've talked about this a number of times on the show, but I'm not the moral compass for the NFL. And I'm sure there are lots of guys that we don't know bad stuff about and maybe even worse people than Tyreek Hill. I don't know, but I can't go into this game playing for money and money leagues and doing these things and try to worry about what they do in their spare time and when they're not on the football field. I can't. So I just go into it with assuming all these guys are innocent of these things. And, because what kind of team am I going to roll out there if, I'm not able to draft some of these players? Jameis Winston, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Dede Westbrook. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Great players. And some of them, I'm sure, are deserving of our criticism and all that. But I just put it aside and I just go for what they do for my fantasy teams. And I don't mix the two things. I'm not going to hang out with them on Sunday. I know that.
Yeah, I don't think any – I mean, the three of us talked about this before. None of us really give a shit about their personal lives. I just look at it as I think he's going to do something again if he hasn't.
Yeah, same with me and Mixon. That's my thing with, and Joe Mixon was another one. Those are guys that I don't want to overspend on those guys and pay too much, but if they become a value, and Mixon's just never really been that. He's always, and now for sure he's not a value. Like, you're drafting him probably closer to his ceiling now, but those are guys that, like, if they screw up, you really burned your own ass. I'm careful because I think they're probably repeat offenders, and I've never paid for any of these players. All the places I had Tyreek Hill before recent startups were off waivers, or when I got him at the end of, you know, rookie drafts in the fourth round or something, his rookie year. I've never overpaid for Hill, in my opinion.
I draft them in best ball, though. I got no problem with that. And I'll draft them late in a redraft league. But in Dynasty, I'm just staying away. Because, you know, it's unforgiving. I gotta carry this guy for however long. And if something happens again, then he dies on my roster, just like when I traded for Josh Gordon towards the end of last year. And the guy goes out and smokes a blunt on my birthday and misses the rest of the year.
And we've all been burned by those guys, Martavis Bryant, Josh Gordon. Everybody's had their fill of those players costing us, roster spots.
Yeah.
I just drafted Martavis Bryant in the 32nd round today of a draft because who cares?
It is funny, though, when you just said that. There's a lot of startups this month, and then when you get into those 30th rounds, there's nothing.
I hate them. I got to be honest with you. The longer I do this, like, I know that there's got to be some happy medium in between, like, what the FFPC does, which is, you know, really shallow, and then what we end up doing in most of our MFL leagues, whereas, like, it kind of feels like, well, how many rounds do you think we could do? Do you want to do a 79 round?
Yeah.
Or a draft? Because I got to be honest with you. After about the 20, I want to say the 22nd round, maybe, probably before that, I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to cut these guys. Like, I'm going to cut them for the first, like, piece of good news I hear on any guy out of camp. I'm going to go, oh, yeah. No, he's definitely stealing job. So I'm going to go pick him up.
I was thinking about it too, and it's been a while since I've had a startup like that, but I think probably the better idea would be, like you said, maybe go to 23, 24, maybe at the most, and then still have that 30-man roster, but then just do the rest as waiver, like maybe in the offseason have like three different waiver periods where you buy the players instead of doing it. Because you're right, people go on autopilot in those last rounds. But speaking of drafts, we are going to have a draft here tonight, and we have people waiting. So do you want to do this last bit of news here about Marvin Jones, and then we'll start getting everybody in the room?
Yeah, so Marvin Jones, apparently the Lions, one of their beat reporters, and again, per Roto World, doesn't think that he's going to stick with the team throughout the year. That'd be a good thing for his fantasy value. I think I've talked about it a lot. Daryl Bevel doesn't like to throw the ball a lot, and when he does, it's to one guy. I'd be moving. That'd be really good news if Marvin Jones could end up somewhere else, maybe in a, you know, situation with a quarter or an offensive coordinator that likes to throw the ball once in a while.
And he's been so good too in the recent past. I mean, borderline wide receiver one few years. I know he got hurt last year, but I mean, he's been outstanding value, and I do hope he gets it with another team. I mean, he's still young. I mean, he's not even 30 yet. He definitely could be a great wide receiver too for an NFL team. And, do great for fantasy too. That guy's been huge. I mean, honestly, God, man, getting him, he should be the wide receiver one there. They should keep him. I don't understand, but yeah.
Bevel doesn't Kenny like Galladay's, wide receivers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Kenny Galladay's much better. But yeah. They're different types of receivers. It's a shame because they could both thrive, but it really doesn't matter because, well, they're going to be moving on.
Because he throws the one.
Yeah.
I mean, Bevel just doesn't like to throw the ball. I think if he could get away with it, he would run the ball 600 times this season.
But showing he can be a wide receiver one. I mean, so if he goes to a team, I don't know what his floor is, but his ceiling's pretty damn good.
Well, like you said about moving on, we're going to move on too, because looking at the Google Hangout, a bunch of faces just popped up on the screen. So before we introduce everybody and get into this draft, why don't we hear from the Scouting Academy?
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Okay. Yeah, so no, that's awesome, especially if you like to watch football, which I'm guessing most of the people that listen to this show do. So go hit up the site. You could probably still get to the link, even if you're not a subscriber. But if you're not a subscriber, you should really subscribe to Dynasty Football Factory. Got a couple deals running, $29.99 for the year, plus you get the rookie guide and the IDP guide. So go become a member of Dynasty Football Factory. Otherwise, we'll probably have to cancel all our shows.
Oh my God. Go to dynastyfootballfactory.com and check it out. We just went under the paywall last week, correct?
I don't think it's under, it's behind. Behind.
Under,
that's
behind.
That's the vernacular.
Sorry. Like you said, I'm old and I'm sundowning or whatever the word is you say.
I would never say that. That's insensitive, Michael. So I'm pretty excited, though. We've got some people that I like talking to as opposed to you two. So
oh, awesome.
The feeling's mutual, buddy.
Yeah, we're going to attempt to do another rookie draft, and we have a room full of people here. Jeremy, do you want to tell everybody about what the draft is and then introduce all our guests?
Yeah, we're doing another rookie dynasty mock draft, and it's super flex PPR, no tight end premium, because we had a real dialogue last time we tried this about tight end premium, because we didn't quantify what exactly we were doing with the scoring, and so this time no tight end premium, so we're not going to boost all those tight ends into the upper echelon of this. And yeah, we have a series of guests, a panel of guests, if you will, with us tonight, and I'll start at the top here. We've got Katie Flower, the diva of Devi, Kevin Cotillo from Dynasty Wall Street and the Funhouse, Tom Burrows, our own DFF guru, Scott Connor, and I am missing someone. I think John Bosch is supposed to be joining us too, the auction aficionado and eliminator setter upper for fantasycares.net guy. And he hasn't joined us yet, but he's supposed to be here too. And so the way it works is the three hosts have the first three picks in this draft. Cherry pick, I have 101, Mike has 102, Shane has 103, and then the guests have 104 to 108, and then 109 to 113. So all five guests have two picks, and we're going to have a bonus pick, which is 113. Yeah, Shane, are you confused already?
So who had the worst record in this theoretical league? It was Scott, because he gets the extra pick. He won the toilet bowl.
No, he won the toilet bowl. I had the worst record.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job, Scott.
And the best part of putting the three of us at 1, 2, and 3 is every one of these rookie drafts are all pretty much on autopilot, those first three picks. So when we say our first three picks, I know you – well, that's why you get the three. Okay, Shane's shaking his head. So Jeremy and I have 1 and 2. It's usually pretty easy. You just say it. So then our guests will be able to do two other picks where they'll get to talk about it. And I don't even know if I will get to pick, because usually Shane trades for my pick. So – and welcome all the guests. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for
glad to be here.
Inviting us back.
None of them were excited to be here, by the way.
I've been waiting my entire life to see to see the geyser at Yellowstone Park, and I did not go see it today because of this podcast. I'm going to see it tomorrow instead. That's how excited I am to be here.
Wow, thank you so much, Katie.
I'm putting off seeing Old Faithful until tomorrow.
Are you serious? That's amazing.
Katie, you're going to be grossly disappointed. I've been on this podcast several times, and it's never what it's supposed to be.
I'm sorry you're breaking up. Kevin Cotillo has to leave, everyone. We're really sorry.
I'm just happy that Shane didn't make a joke about me being Old Faithful. I thought that was the next line.
No, that's too obvious.
So, all right, well.
As often as you go to the restroom. I'm not going to touch that one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah.
Well, I'll say I'm excited because this is the first time we've had Scott and Tom on the show.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny because this afternoon I was thinking, like, oh, we should have Scott on sometime. And behind the curtains real quick, nobody realizes this, I don't think. I have no idea what we're doing on any of the shows until the day of. I don't know if people are coming on.
No, Jeremy, he's telling the truth, because even if you do tell him, he doesn't hear.
He doesn't remember. Yeah, he doesn't remember. He doesn't listen, and then he doesn't remember because he didn't listen.
So the 1-1 is going to be Jeremy, and it's a super flex. So he's going to go ahead and take Kyler Murray.
Yes, I am.
Is it 4 points or 5 points or six points?
Six points.
6 points?
Then it's 7 point
rushing bonus for Russian quarterback touchdown.
For Russian quarterbacks?
Russian.
Yeah, Kyler Murray is not Russian.
It goes right along with our New Orleans tight end premium, you know?
And then Michael.
I'm reading things wrong today. Sorry.
Michael doesn't really like these running backs, so he's going to go N'Keal Harry.
And
if John were here, I think there was a trade in the works. I heard those guys talking about maybe making a trade.
I actually traded up to 1-3, and I took Josh Jacobs just because I wanted this draft to go chalk so we could hear our guests talk about the other players, because everyone already knows about the top three, whatever. So with that, we got Kyler Murray off the board, N'Keal Harry, and Josh Jacobs. And then, oh, wait, I already had the 1-3.
Yeah, she already had the 1-3.
I traded for nothing. So John's actually up now with the 104.
He traded with himself. And he tried to talk himself out of an extra pick. And then he revoked it. He took it back.
Yeah. I DM'd myself and I said, I didn't mean to send that.
Yeah, what I was going to say is he contacted himself saying he didn't mean to accept that, which he's known to do. So, yes, John is up at the 1.04, and we'll make sure that I'll mute Shane so he can't steal your pick as well.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Hey,
came into what definitely was a TradeCast HQ conversation right there.
Hey, I do want to say one thing, John, real quick. In your eliminator, which actually you should definitely tell everybody about the eliminators, but I know in your auction eliminator, you actually did today what you told everybody on our show last week you were going to do, and win the very first player off the board and start out strong with your team.
Saquon's 25% of my budget, right?
Yep, there you go.
So steal. I'll give it up. Zeke was down like at 200 at that point, so everybody pivoted to him, it looked like. I wonder where he's at now, but I bet you he gets close to 250 if Ori goes over, I'm going to guess.
And it's Jeremy who's winning Zeke right now. So, all right, we kind of got sidetracked. So you're at 104.
Yeah, 104. I'm going to go David Montgomery. I have flip-flopped my running backs over the last few weeks, and now it's Montgomery for me. I think he's in a better spot in Chicago than what my previous option was now. So this is the first time that I've actually taken Montgomery ahead of Sanders, but that's going to be my pick there at 104.
Does anybody Jeremy says he likes it, but any of our guests, you guys have any comments about David Montgomery going before Miles Sanders?
I would take Miles Sanders over him, but that's just me.
Why would you do that? No, I mean, you're probably thinking what a lot of people are so far in drafts. I mean, that's the way it's gone in most of my rookie drafts, Sanders before Montgomery. But why in your case would you
want to
do that?
I've seen 50-50.
Okay.
I've seen 50-50 in my drafts. Montgomery's been sneaking up steadily.
Yes.
Sanders with his injuries starting to come down a little bit.
Yeah,
but
Sanders has
a great work ethic. He's got excellent metrics. He was one of Penn State's highest recruits. He sat and learned from Saquon Barkley and got a lot of motivation from him as well. He was great in the kick return, punt return game in college. He's got great moves, and you know, while he doesn't have as much production as some of the other guys, including Montgomery, I think he's going to do well in Philadelphia.
It's a good landing spot for him, for sure. A good environment. That's what I think, too. But I like both of those backs, so I couldn't argue with anybody taking one or the other. I would take both of them over Josh Jacobs. That's just me.
Oh, I would not do that. If Jacobs would have fallen to 104, that would have been real easy for me to smash that pick.
Well, Katie, it's funny because you're actually the next pick on the board.
I'm up at 105, right?
Yeah.
I wonder who she's taking.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, and I'm not going to go I'm not gonna go running back. I'm gonna because it is super flex. I'm gonna take Dwayne Haskins here. I think that he's got all the tools to make it in the NFL. He's very smart. One of the big knocks against him was he had such clean pockets that he never had to force anything, or you couldn't really see him under duress. That will change in Washington clearly, and he doesn't have a full plethora of weapons he's going to have to develop, or they're going to have to develop with him. So there will be some challenges, but I like him in Superflex at 105.
Oh yeah.
He was in consideration for me. I don't know. Usually I am a quarterback over everything kind of guy, but Haskins doesn't do it for me. I currently have none, and I will probably end the off season with none. Unfortunately, I should probably add one or two just in case.
Trade.
Well, that puts Kevin Cotillo up at the 106. So, Kevin, what you got there?
Yeah, so I listened to Katie do that whole thing about Miles Sanders, and I'm sitting here shaking my head thinking, I, you're making some great points, but at the end of the day, there were two things that stuck out to me. One, you said he had limited production. And two, you didn't mention the offense, even though Jeremy said it was a good landing spot. I don't think it's a good landing spot. I think it's a terrible landing spot because Doug Peterson hates fantasy football teams. He absolutely hates them. He
needs you're right about that.
He will do anything to ruin a running back. He will have a committee till the day he dies. And I'm going to take Sanders here because I have to. But my goal with this is going to be to trade Sanders to Shane at the end of the day. So when this league is up and running, I will move Sanders to Shane for a boatload of 2020 picks.
And it's really funny because I commented that we were going to mute Shane so he doesn't bother anybody, but he's not actually muted. He actually left the room. He had to go do something. So yeah, you probably will be able to. Yeah, you probably will be able to trade with him later. But
listen, the other consideration here was there's no Rich Dotson here, so I didn't have to take Daniel Jones and not get yelled at like last time. So,
man.
I mean, look, I think Sanders is a good pick at six. I shouldn't be knocking it too much. He's obviously a very talented running back. I think he could succeed. I just hate that offense, so that's what makes it nerve-wracking for me. I would have taken Haskins if Katie had stuck to her guns and taken the running back, but, you know.
How many running backs do they have on the roster still?
There's
six or seven guys still there.
Tom, do you agree with
a few that matter though?
But do you agree with his?
Yeah, Tom, go ahead, man.
Like, well, what I was gonna say was, you know, because Kevin says it, he doesn't like him, but he has to take him here. And I understand what he's saying. He could turn around and try to trade him to somebody like Shane or whatever. But do you guys agree with taking a player just because you feel like you have to take him because the value's there, or do you still take somebody that you really want instead?
Well, let me revise that. I don't think I have to take him, right? I think he's the best value left on the board. I say have to, you know, sort of mockingly, right?
Well, sure,
I
of course. Think that
You know, I could take anyone here. I mean, I think he's the best value left on the board because after this point, I think we start to see a little bit of a drop off as far as tiers. Like, I'm not a huge Metcalf guy. AJ Brown's in just as bad of a situation, in my opinion. So, I mean, I'm going to take the guy that's going to get me instant production because he's going to be on the field in year one, and he's going to get you can flip him for value. Does that explain it a little better?
It does. It does. Because in most leagues, I mean, you can think, well, somebody between 103 and 105 likely would take Sanders in that range. And so he's more valuable to someone else than me at 106 in your case. And so you may be able to flip him before, you know, this rookie draft is over or even during the first round after you choose him. I don't see that being a bad strategy at all. I would probably take a player I like instead of him, but I mean,
I have a bag of pretzels I'll give you.
Well, see, a bag of pretzels. And that's the thing. I Kevin, I didn't mean that you had to, like,
yeah, you had a bag of pretzels.
I just meant because Tom started with the conversation that how many other running backs are there. So even though he's next on the clock, I didn't know if he had agreed with the pick or not. So that's where I was going with it. But
yeah, I definitely agree with the pick. I mean, I'm certainly a best player available, even if you don't love him. The value is the most important thing. So if there are other people who believe that Miles Sanders' value is going to increase, and usually we see running backs hit the ground running, you know, pun intended, And their value increases over the first year. So grabbing guys like that, especially if you have a plan to potentially flip them, and he's probably going to have the crack to be the starter there. But I do agree with Kevin that, you know, I think right there, there does start to be a tier break here. I feel like in mocks, I always end up at this spot on this tier break. And so I would have taken Sanders there. I was kind of hoping maybe Haskins would slip through to me. So for my pick, I think I'm going to go with AJ Brown. I just think, you know, when there is that tier break, I'm going to go with talent. And pre-draft, I had him much higher than this. I had him in my top three or four. I love the player. I'm not expecting anything this year, but we don't even know if Mariota is going to be the guy there. A year from now, they could really be looking to revamp things and move on. And I think that he could even potentially overtake Corey Davis in the next two or three years as a primary guy on that team.
Maybe even this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of AJ Brown, we all know that Shane loves AJ, and Shane, you just came back. When Kevin picked Miles
Sanders. I love him more. I love him way more than Shane ever.
Well, that is true. Yeah, you did
get a great pick.
Yeah.
Talent over landing spot any day. Talent over landing spot.
Tom sniped me big time.
Yes.
And wasn't AJ Brown your guy in this class for a long time? I think I saw that in our Debbie leagues, at least a couple of them. Plus, you said that on our last show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I remember when she was talking about it before.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a great pick.
And Shane, the reason I mentioned it was because you came back into the room and Kevin Cotillo took Miles Sanders at 106. Never he said met. With the intention of trading him to you.
Oh, the trade's been accepted.
Well, you
see, what I tell you, three 2021st, and now they're all mine.
2021st. Wow. Well, you know, look, just real quick on Miles Sanders. If one more person talks about how Doug Peterson doesn't like that Doug Peterson likes to use a running back by committee, I'm gonna.
That's how Kevin led right into
he
it.
That's exactly what Kevin said, Shane.
It's fact, Shane. It's not even opinion. It's statistical. Opinion.
And Doug Peterson does not like your fantasy team.
Shane. Right. Well, you only have to wait Peterson 1 year, Shane. Like it doesn't. Have to wait 1 year, though, right? Because Jordan Howard's on a one-year deal, and Miles Sanders is definitely going to play over Corey Clement. So I think Kevin's scared, and I think it's maybe undue fear because Sanders is definitely going to play this year, man. Right?
The only running back that's not on a one-year deal besides Miles Sanders is Boston Scott, who I'd be shocked if he makes the fucking team. And if he does, it's going to be as a punt returner. Because
dude, he's Darren Sproles.
That's what I was going to say. He's basically his body double. He doesn't have as thick of an ass, but, you know.
As thick of an ass.
No, did you ever see Darren Sproles from behind, man?
Yeah, he's thick.
Good Lord.
Well, speaking of Scott, the next pick is Scott Connor at 108.
Yeah, I got sniped.
You're a pro, Mike.
Thanks, Katie.
So Tom sniped me at 107. I was planning on getting AJ Brown. And I did want to add with Shane, I have 46 Dynasty Leagues now, and I do not have one share of Miles Sanders.
Wow.
Because Doug Peterson likes to use a running back by committee. So I just wanted to let you know that.
You've never heard that before.
I know.
Cream rises to the top. Cream rises to the top.
It's true.
I'm wrong. But I'm taking it at 108 just because all these receivers in this tier, they're pretty much you can throw them all against the wall and see which one sticks. So I'm going to take Darrell Henderson at 108. And simply because I think we're going to see value increase in the next year or so with running backs that are still on rookie contracts. So I think he's somebody that, you know, obviously it's a little bit of a reach depending on, you know, what your league settings are. But I typically play in a lot of point per carry leagues. So I think taking Darrell Henderson here, it gives me a little bit more, I guess, safety in terms of knowing that I may get somebody with a role for the next couple years. But I really just, especially with this receiver draft, knowing I'm going to get to pick in five more picks, I'll just take the running back here, and I know I'll get a receiver in five more picks. So I'll go Darrell Henderson at the 108.
No one seems shocked about it, and I'm still – it's hard to be. Like, I just don't know what to think about Gurley. How much are they going to reduce his workload? Is he going to be able to play every week? Does he have knees? Is he even a person? I don't know any of these things to be true. God. I don't. So I like Darrell Henderson there. Like, he was a guy I was actually targeting in a few trades, but I wasn't able to get him in many leagues. I drafted him at the 110 in a super flex, and I was fine. Or, matter of fact, no, it was a one quarterback league, and I was okay with that. So whatever, because the guy's got league winning upside if Gurley's actually kneeless.
Plus, with the way your teams finish, you're usually drafting in those first three picks, right? I'm just kidding. I couldn't even keep a straight face, Shane. I'm just playing with you. I know.
But it is true, to try to get him in trades, his value has gone so high that people are always looking. I love the people, like, I have Gurley in a lot of leagues, and so many people come to me with Darrell Henderson. Hey, you want Darrell Henderson? You know, give me three firsts or whatever.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Real quick. Why are we all convinced that his role will be increased significantly if Gurley doesn't have knees, or, you know, isn't on the team, or is just dies, which I think most people think is going to happen? Like, I get that Henderson's a good talent and he could have an increased role, but at the same time, I'm not banking on him getting full of carries if Gurley goes down.
Thank you, Kevin. Right. I said that a couple weeks ago.
I am, because Sean McVay's ran Todd Gurley 90% of the snaps since he's had him. And yes, what's Todd saying? Gurley's special. Really special.
But what's to say Henderson is the next man up? Maybe he has carved out role as a rookie, as a third down or change of pace type guy, and you're going to see Malcolm Brown get some carries.
Because I just don't believe in Malcolm Brown. I just traded his ass away. I feel if Malcolm Brown was going to be anything, I would have seen it on the field by now. He's one of those guys that we love in Dynasty until they actually play, and we realize, oh, he's really not all that good, is he?
I believed in Malcolm Brown 3 years ago, but look at Malcolm Brown. He is more injury prone than Gurley.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy can't stay healthy either. So, I mean, what makes you think that even if Gurley were to go down, that he's going to be able to handle any workload?
Kelly's still there?
What?
He is actually. Yeah, and I just think that my only point is it may not be Henderson. It may not be Brown. It may not be John Kelly. It could be a combination of all three. Maybe Doug Peterson starts coaching the Rams and it's running back by committee. Who knows? I just don't know that at the 108, I don't know that I'm trusting Henderson. And I'm not, you know,
I think it's a gamble.
It's not a terrible pick. It's just not where I would go, I guess.
You don't want to give the situation even more due than it should have, but I mean, I've seen him go obviously in that first round, and that there are two players that I would draft over Henderson. I wouldn't take him here, but I don't want to skew any of this, so I'm not going to mention it until a little bit later in this draft, because I want to see where these players go.
Well, Tom was just about to say something, Jeremy. What were you saying, Tom?
Yeah, I think it's a gamble of what you really think Gurley's going to be this year. I think that if we're really thinking Gurley's done and somebody's going to have to step up, then it's an amazing upside pick. I think if betting on Gurley's contract for the next 2 years, the dead cap is insane. So they're not cutting Gurley, really. He's on the team, and even if they manage his touches, he's still going to get enough to where Henderson isn't going to be that stud running back that we want him to be if Gurley were out. And betting on a running back to produce on a team 2 to 3 years out is just historically not a great idea. I mean, so much can change. They have shown that they're going to go get the talent they need to win a Super Bowl now. And I think if Gurley would go down, they're trading, they're bringing somebody else in who's going to compete and going to be ready to take a potential starting spot. You know, they're not going to count on a rookie or even a second-year guy that's unproven.
And they may still do that, too. They may still bring someone in at some point.
Well, also,
I would say in a non-tight end premium, the 106 would kind of be the benchmark where I would start shopping for a 2021st. We're trying to trade back, and I would be willing to trade this pick for someone like Rashad Penny before I would take Darrell Henderson, yes. Especially if I was targeting a running back. So in a mock draft, I'm simply looking at this as scarcity. You know, I want running backs, especially, I've talked about it many times, there's a lot of running backs this year that are essentially one-year bets, you know, like your Devontae Freeman, Damian Williams, Kenyon Drake, Derrick Henry, Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, all those guys could go down in value or be replaced next year around draft time. So I'd like to invest in at least a running back with draft capital that I know is going to be on a rookie deal for a couple more years. So that's kind of the justification behind the pick. I know it's a reach compared to just talent-wise, though.
Yeah,
backs are valuable sooner than other positions. I mean, generally have an easier shot at starting role.
Yeah, and obviously in a rookie mock like this, you don't really have that opportunity to trade for 2020 first, even though Shane usually does trades in the
Yeah, sense. If you want to make a trade with me, I'll trade up here and I'll grab Noah Fant.
But there was
for a tight end premium draft, so you can get a pick in that draft.
Yeah, but there was one other thing, kind of what Tom was talking about too, is there was a narrative that people had a couple months ago that some of these teams that are drafting these running backs are just doing it for the year while they wait for next year's rookie class that's coming in with running backs. You know,
you're not investing a second or a third round pick in a guy that you're planning on for a season. You don't do that. Not that early. If it's a fifth round guy, like a Darwin Thompson, who, you know, I'm in love with, but the Chiefs can replace him easily next year. He's a fifth round pick. But if you're investing third round capital, that's how you build a terrible roster, is trying to replace third round picks the following season.
Right, but there could be the idea that Gurley is good enough to play the rest of this year and he'd be fine, and then next year they use a high pick on a running back to bring in instead of Henderson being
so
the guy.
So many ifs, so many.
Well,
ifs.
All of it's ifs. It's all we're all guessing about everything, you know.
Well, you could say that. Yeah. I mean, just saying that you just don't know.
Let's be honest here. I mean, 90% of running backs are on 1 year contracts. I mean, essentially, right? I mean, any of them, with the exception of maybe five, could be cut at any point. So.
Yeah. Well, at this point right now, we are back to Kevin Cotillo, who had this conversation. So, Kevin, who are you taking at 109?
Man, I forgot I was supposed to. We've been just talking about running backs.
I know.
So I got Sanders. I'm 109 here. No tight end premium, which I know Bosch loves. So I'm going to – you know what? Man, I'm going to take
– this is an apt description of the class right here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. And I don't know how many times I've done this doing a draft where I've been like, oh, man, I could take – no, I guess I'm going to go with Paris Campbell, but I don't love it. I like the player. Love that offense. I think they're going to be a great offense. I think he'll be, Andrew Luck, piece of whoever he's throwing to. T.Y. Hilton's getting a little low. I'm going to take Campbell and just hope that he gets on the field a lot.
Love that pick, brother.
It's funny though, the way Shane just said it's the way this draft is and this class is. You know, we're at 109 and you're already like kind of figure that out. And when we're doing all these startups, I don't know if you guys are noticing, but this month we've done a bunch of startups. All these rookies go so high in these startups. While they're doing the startups, everybody's like, oh, he's so great. And then when you sit here and try to do a rookie mock, people are kind of like, I guess I'll take this guy.
Well, no, there's just that certain level or tier of player you get to in a startup draft where you're like, I know what this guy can do. He can get me 11 points a week. Let me take my shot on this rookie, Paris Campbell, in this, for instance, that is clearly going to take over for T.Y. Hilton in two seasons and is going to just basically just carbon copy. We're just going to replace them completely, even if they're not the same type of player. But I mean, that's kind of like what runs through your head. When you're looking at these guys, they're shiny. You know what they have that upside. They haven't gotten on the field yet to show you that, oh, they might just be 11 point a week players.
So the thing about with this class is that, you know, as we go through, we talk about running backs in the year one production. It's one of the reasons they're a little overvalued. So for me, Campbell is a guy that I think will get on the field in year one. So that might give him a better opportunity to get instant value. So that he's one of the reasons that I go with him here.
The production and coming out of Ohio State out of that offense, I think gives him an edge. But like Katie summarized it pretty well earlier when she said the cream rises to the top. And my thing with wide receivers, and you basically just said it too, is are they going to get on the field early? And how do you have them ranked before landing spot? Because people give up on receivers early, like too early in their careers, the good ones. Sometimes you just have to wait till things evolve on a team. And Juju Smith-Schuster and Michael Thomas and guys get on teams that make sense for them. But just even more than landing spot, you're banking on the talent of those players, not, you know, rank them the way you had them. If it was James Washington or DJ Moore or whatever, just stick to that list with wide receivers. And in this case, also AJ Brown. Maybe Mariota's not the quarterback, like Tom said, in another year or two. And even if he is, A.J. Brown's one of the best wide receivers in this class. Don't waver from your list with wide receivers because it's situational. And in the case of Campbell and Brown and some of the more refined players, they're going to get on the field sooner. Some of them play special teams. So I don't see the real downside to drafting those players in the first round and just taking a shot if you truly think they're one of the best players at wide receiver.
Yeah, sure. I think at this point I would agree with Scott where I'd be trading out, but we can't do that in this draft. So, Tom, at 110, what are you looking at?
I'm going to trade out.
I still have that bag of pretzels. So I'll throw in some peanut butter.
So I don't know. He's probably slipped enough from what I typically see him go. I'll have to go with Metcalf here. You know, I think building off the conversation that you guys were just saying, I do think he is going to be on the field quite a bit this year. You know, I think if the reports are true and Lockett is moving into the slot, you know, I think I just looked it up. Lockett was in the slot last year like 35% of the time. So if he's taking the Baldwin role and that's bumping up to 60-65% of snaps, that means Metcalf, maybe David Moore, maybe one of the other guys, is going to be on the outside. And so Metcalf is going to be getting those outside deep bombs that Lockett was getting a year ago. And while I've bet against Russell Wilson every year because of his coaching staff and because of the personnel that they put around him, he hits those guys. And so I think that he's going to flash enough in year one to get people to extend the hype that's been built up of his, you know, just freak physical gift.
Right. Clearly has the strength and speed to get down the field.
I mean, it's really just going to take – I mean, how many highlights does he really need this year for his ADP to go up next offseason? And then, you know, hopefully he can develop over the next few years and really become into a contributor, and they can get a new offensive coordinator who is willing to pass the ball game.
I wonder about Tyler Lockett. I wonder how many targets he can actually see and still be effective. Like, he's not going to just become Doug Baldwin, right? He's not going to see 116, 125 targets, right? Is he?
Depends how much they play him in the slot, I think. Yeah. Because there could be some other potential contributors depending on where they line up.
I think Lockett has held up pretty well, but if he's going to play the slot role there, he's definitely going to get volume.
So then now we're up to Katie at the 111.
Yes, and this gives me a conundrum. I'm going to go with best player available, period, even if I don't need a tight end, even if it's not tight end premium. Noah Fant, I think that he is a wide receiver in a tight end's body, very similar in the role of Evan Engram on a team that needs wide receiver threats. I'm not sure that Cortland Sutton is a true wide receiver one, or at least not in year two. I think Fant can carve out a nice role. And if Flacco throws to him for the season, I know Flacco likes his tight ends. But it's also dynasty, and I think it's a good investment. At this 111, it's about as far as I can let him slide.
Fant's going to wide receiver, and Sutton's going to tight end. That's what's happening.
Not if Sutton has anything to do with it.
Yeah, I didn't see there 40 times, but Fant's probably faster than Sutton, isn't he?
I think he is. He is,
and he's got sticky hands. Yeah. So
I love Fant. That's a great pick right there. He shouldn't have fallen that far. He should have went before Paris Campbell, Darrell Henderson, Metcalf.
It's a terrible pick. He should have gone one pick later when I was hoping to take him.
Yeah, well, you guys can wait a couple years for him
to develop. Did yes, I snipe for sure. you, John?
I was sitting there looking at the list, and I'm like, I can't believe.
Do you want a bag of pretzels?
Yeah.
Do it.
Would you like a bag of pretzels?
Yes, please. That'd be fantastic. Oh, man. That was, I mean, I was surprised that Fant fell that far. So, I mean, I can't be upset because I was fully expecting to take him. That leaves it to me for two players then that I have to decide between. Man, why didn't you go Hockenson? So I could have had the easy one of going with Fant. I think I'll go with Hockenson then. For basically the same reasons that Katie said, it is tough, but at this point, like getting a tight end, if they hit, I'm going to feel comfortable having a nice tight end because there's not a lot of great fantasy producing tight ends out there. So
first round NFL tight ends, though, usually they've hit
Yeah, these guys feel like the guys to take the shot on. It's the end of the first round. Shane, you pushed them up a little high for me. I'm not a big fan of taking them in the middle of the first round, but right now I'll be patient. If I'm drafting at the 111, 112, it's likely because I did okay last year. So I'm not expecting to have to put this person in my lineup, so I can wait a couple of years. And that's when, you know, maybe that tight end will flourish and join my starting lineup.
Hey, Shane has a first round grade on a player. He doesn't care where that, if he has the 101, the 102, the 103, he's still taking that player because he had a first round grade on him.
I just want you to know that in 12 seasons, Bevel's had four tight end number ones. And most of those were Jimmy Graham. And the average finish for him in 12 seasons, tight ends under him would be tight end 20. Because Darrell Bevell doesn't like to throw the football. I like Hockenson. I just hope that they get rid of that Patricia and Bevell duo there shortly in Detroit, which probably they're about due for a coaching change, right? It's been a season. So, what, another season or so?
Yeah, it's been a season.
Two seasons, that's it.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
I will say, I mean, it definitely is more speaking to the fact that I think he's the best option of what was left. There was one wide receiver that I was, you know, that I'm kind of interested in the same spot. I'm going to guess that he goes very quickly here. But at this point, I mean, it's the end of the first. There's not a lot. This is a thin draft at the top. I mean,
it's so funny. Yeah. And until we start doing stuff like that, then it emphasizes it again. And yeah, so Scott has the last pick in the first round. So maybe he is going to take the player that John is talking about.
113. So is this like a toilet bowl compensation pick or something here?
Yeah, yeah. Scott won the toilet bowl.
Plus, we had to fit everybody. Yeah, we had to fit everybody in. So
that's what she said.
Oh God,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm actually torn on this because I've actually taken JJ Arcega-Whiteside 14 drafts, and I don't think I've taken him. Only a couple of those I took him in the first 14 picks. So I'm a little torn, but that's my most owned rookie. I have 14 shares of him already this year.
I have him a lot too.
He's a player I would probably target here, but we talked earlier about when do you trade out, try to get a 2020 first.
Yeah.
You know, I have to go with history. You know, we've only been able to – there's only two quarterbacks that have been drafted in the first round that haven't started more than 24 games in the last 6 years. So we're talking Johnny Manziel, Paxton Lynch. So if this player ends up being in that mold, then this is going to be a loss. But I'll take Daniel Jones.
Oh.
Just because I think there's a chance that – you know, depending on when he starts, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the Giants handle him, because I do think they have to get a good look at him this year. Otherwise, they're stuck with where Arizona was next year, potentially, where they're looking at potentially drafting over him, depending how high they pick. So I'll take Daniel Jones, and hopefully when he takes the field, I could potentially flip him for a 2021st to maybe a team that got a quarterback injury or a team that needs a quarterback. So just pure value here, I'll take Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and I think what we did here was we ended up giving all of our guests two picks, so that's why we did the 113. But at this point right now, you know, Jeremy's writing on the show sheet that for 114 it would be a group pick of JJ. But
maybe Arcega-Whiteside. But we take at 114.
What I was gonna say is, instead of the HQ taking somebody at 114, I was gonna ask each one of our guests, thank you very much for coming in and doing this, but is there somebody that you think should have been in these top 13 that was not picked? So I guess we'll go by the screen here, and we'll start with you, Scott. Was there anybody that you think was missed? I guess you kind of said JJ, you liked him, but is there anybody missed, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really just – I really think it's just JJ, because there's serious question marks about the other receivers, obviously with Hardman and then with Debo, the news about his injury the other day. I have zero shares of Marquise Brown. Him and Miles Sanders are the two players I do not have one share of, so I wouldn't take him. So I think the only one would have been potentially JJ.
John, do you think anybody was missed?
Same. And that's JJ Arcega-Whiteside is who I was considering when I took Hockenson. So I think he belongs at the end of the first round. You know,
I've got him as late as 207, 208 in a start one quarterback league.
So they were going
back there with Hakeem Butler lately. They both have been slipping to the mid second.
So, Katie, are you good with these top 13?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
And then Kevin?
Yeah, there's no one else that I would have bumped up into the first round.
And then finally, Tom.
Yeah, I was actually considering Arcega-Whiteside.
with my Metcalf pick. So I like him a lot. You guys mentioned earlier the news about Hill. I mean, if he ends up being out this year, depending on what happens, unfolds this, this week, Hardman could potentially be considered a back end, round one pick. I don't think I would take him there just because I just don't think he's very good at football.
he's fast though, John. He's fast. Just kidding.
From a value perspective and from the hype that's going to build up over the next few months, grabbing him and then flipping him in, August after a preseason highlight, then, I think that he would definitely have an argument to be in that back end.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. We really appreciate all of it. I guess we could do it the same way we just did using the pictures on the screen. We're in Google Hangout. But you guys, if you want to just promote something before you go, and we could start with Scott again.
Yeah, I know this is the first time on the show. Really glad to be on the panel doing the mock draft. Seems like we're kind of tailing down the end of mock draft season for the 2019 class. But you can find me at first and foremost over at Dynasty Command Center at dynastycommandcenter.com and on Twitter at CharlesChillFFB. And also I have a couple podcasts, Dynasty and Chill and the Dynasty Scope. So check those out.
Awesome. John, do you want to tell us about those eliminators?
Yeah, go sign up for those. Look, the easiest way is find my pinned tweet. I am at John Bosch at John Bosch FF on Twitter. You can sign up to eliminate the HQ boys.
Woohoo!
You can sign up to eliminate Katie, who's doing one with her cohort Tim.
Good luck. It's really hard to do that. So if you haven't signed up yet, yes, we are cocky because every year we're in the finals.
Woohoo!
Did you guys win last year?
We didn't. We were in the finals though.
Got runner up. Nice. Ooh. Nice. You can eliminate me and Kevin.
Hell yeah.
Either as part of the Wall Street one or the what is it? FFFF Fun House.
That seems like some extra apps.
Fun.
That'll be getting posted soon. There's all kinds of people on there. It's just they're fun little leagues. They're for charity. They raise money for Fantasy Cares. They're $10 to play. Each league has someone that you probably listen to or read, something like that. Somebody in there, and you got to have a little chat with them during the draft. It's best ball. So once the draft is over, you don't have to do anything else. And you just sit back and watch yourself win every week. All you have to do is not be the lowest score. So it's real easy to win. All you have to do is just not be last, right? It's simple. They're a little bit more challenging than I might be describing there, but they're fun. They're $10. They raise a ton of money for charity. So go sign up for those. That's all I can promote right now.
That's awesome. Katie.
Yeah, apparently, real quick, before we go to Katie, give her a proper due. But yeah, we have an eliminator. We need to tell people to go sign up for that shit.
Shane, you got your own. They kicked you out this year, man.
Yeah.
I'm not even in that eliminator.
We're not letting you draft this year.
You've been eliminated.
Yes.
I've already lost before the season started.
You can focus on winning yours, which is full and should be starting hopefully tonight.
Yeah, and I don't care what everybody says. Shane will be part of it with Jeremy and I. So yeah, jump in there and do the HQ one too if you want to. Katie, what do you got?
Katie Flower, you can find me on Twitter at FF_Skylar399 and on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the helmet every other week on the regular show. And if you are a premium subscriber, every other week on the premium show and some of my written content occasionally at UTHDynasty.com.
Awesome. And have fun with the geysers tomorrow. Kevin.
Thank you.
You guys can check me out on Dynasty Wall Street on Bosch. You can find me on Twitter at Kevin Gattilla. You can, if you like redraft and Dynasty, you can check out the Fantasy Football Funhouse with Sal Lito and myself. And there's another guy every once in a while as well. But follow me on Twitter. You'll find all my stuff.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin. And finally, Tom.
Yeah, you can find me at FF_TomB. And I write a lot, so you can find me at Dynasty League Football, Dynasty Football Factory, Fantasy Evaluator that's starting up next week. So I just love talking fantasy and particularly analytic slants. So thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for coming in. And anybody that would like to stick around after we wrap up the show right now, we're going to go into a Patreon episode. So we really appreciate it. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you next time.
Bye. All right. All right, so that was awesome. That was actually a relatively tame draft for us, but I think it worked out pretty good, and there was some good information there. So thanks for joining us, guys. Check out our Twitter account, at Dynasty Trades HQ. Check out our iTunes, Dynasty Trades HQ. Give us a rate and review. Join our Patreon account. Join our website, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Oh, hey, come
see our leagues.
Yeah, come see us, right? Jeremy, where are we going to be?
Yeah, we are going to be at the Midwest Fantasy Football Expo. First season of doing this, organized by Bob Long. It's in Canton, Ohio on Sunday, August 18th. I think it's $25 to get in. If you use our code TradesHQ, TradesHQ will get you $5 off your admission ticket. There's going to be at least 32 booths, podcasts, a podcast stage, main stage, speakers, panel discussion. All kinds of people are going to be there in the fantasy industry. Again, Sunday, August 18th. We're going to be there, all three of us, and so many more. Actually, Scott, you're going to be there, right? With the Command Center guys. Is that true, or is that still up in the air? Probably shouldn't have said that.
No, well, I'm still trying to bribe them to get a Dynasty Command Center booth. It seems like RotoViz gets everything nowadays, but we'll see. I may come up because I'm only about an hour and a half away, so I may come up just to meet everybody and whatnot, just because it's, you know, it's fantasy.
You gotta go.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So. Dude. The FF Ballers, I mean, so many people we know are just going to be dropping by. Outhouse from another trade show, Trade Addicts. So many people are going to be there, and we're really looking forward to this first year of the expo.
Also, if you guys are in the area, we're going to be bouncing around at the Hall of Fame on Saturday too, since none of us have ever been there before. So we're going to be there. So you might run into us there too. Also, go check out our store, dthq.storeenvy.com. Pick up some shirts, hats. I think we're going to have some of that stuff at the convention. Correct, Jeremy?
Yeah, we're going to have all kinds of stuff at the convention. We're going to have t-shirts and hats and a raffle, right? Shane's going to be there. We're going to pin the tail on Shane.
No, we're not. We are not going to pin anything on Shane. But
yeah, you could win me.
But we are going to be at booth 6. You come in the place, you'll be able to see a big banner and all that kind of stuff. So come see us. So, hey, Definitely. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Peace out.
Later. Go get under on top of our paywall and sign up to become Dynasty Football Factory subscriber. $29.99 a year. You get the IDP guide and the rookie guide with that. Or you could just do $19.99 a year if you don't want no guides at all. But whatever, just go sign up.
And if you don't want no guides, that really means you do want guides, because that's a double negative. Just get a guide.
Over, under, whatever I said was the wrong thing. Whatever. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.